Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We've made it to Friday and the start of the Memorial Day holiday weekend, which is definitely going to have a different feel this year. I guess we're used to that by now. Everything is weird in 2020. And speaking of weird, welcome to the show. I know, I'm just kidding. I say that with love. Good morning, Michael Kelly.
Hey, good morning.
And good morning, John Hancock.
Unbelievable.
More hi.
Technical difficulties.
All right.
Deb, I'm beginning to think that this may be the operator and not the technology.
Not sure what to do about you, John Hancock.
Me either.
All right. Well, as I was saying, it's going to be a different Memorial Day holiday weekend. People always have plans for big barbecues and road trips. It's a big time to take your first official vacation of the year or road trip of the year. That's going to be a lot different this time. So I just wanted to ask if either of you have any plans this weekend. We'll start with you, Michael Kelly.
Nope. My plans are to continue to be here at my house in the Central West End. I'll probably spend some time in Forest Park. But I'm not sure I'm ready to venture out past, Skinker.
How about you, John Hancock?
I have no plans. I've had no plans for months now, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, we had a doctor on the air this morning who was saying that if people wanted to have a barbecue and maybe have a few friends over, assuming that you know those friends have been following, the rules and the guidelines, that would be okay. I did notice in my daily walk in Tower Grove Park yesterday, a lot more people just kind of gathered in small groups, maybe having, some beers or a bottle of wine. So I think people are starting to venture out. But I ran into a good friend of mine in Tower Grove Park yesterday. I heard somebody shouting my name. And it was just weird because we haven't seen each other in a long time. We both wanted to hug each other, but we're kind of like air hugging, like, hey, it's weird.
It really is.
It is strange. And, I've had a couple of meetings this past week with people that I haven't seen in 2 or 3 months, and we were wearing masks. And when somebody walks into the room, one of the first things you want to do is shake their hand. And then all of a sudden it hits you. Oh, no.
Yeah, you can't touch anyone. But then again, I guess some people don't care, which kind of leads to our next topic, because we've been seeing a lot of people wearing face masks. I have been out and about probably more than some people. And I have noticed that people, by and large, people are wearing their masks. But we do see, if you're ever on Twitter or Facebook, there's all these viral videos of people being jerks and saying, last time I checked, this was a free country. But the overwhelming majority of Americans say that they have worn a face mask. More than 4 out of 5 Americans, 84%, said that they have worn a mask in public in an effort to limit the spread of coronavirus. This is a Democracy Fund and UCLA NationScape Project survey. 89% of Democrats and 81% of Republicans say they have worn a mask in public, according to this survey, which is a newer survey, which is good to know because last month the Washington Post had a survey that said 73% of Democrats and only 59% of Republicans were wearing masks. So, John, do you think that as we're venturing out and about, more people are deciding, okay, that is a good idea?
Well, I hope, but my experience, and I don't get out much, but I do get out some. My experience is that the mask wearing percentages have been going down in the week or so. I wear mine. I kind of think I look good in a mask, but, you know, and I think, it, you know, it's a courtesy for other people. It's not so much to protect me, but in case I happen to be non-symptomatic or asymptomatic, whatever that is, you know, I don't want to be leaving little particles out there. So that's why I wear the mask.
Yeah, I'm 1,000% the same way. I too, Deb, have noticed that some of the percentage of mask wearers seems to be going down. And look, I don't know why people would be making that decision. Like John said, this is about keeping others safe. And it, to be honest with you, it's completely disrespectful. And it's just so awkward to see people not wearing a mask. I mean, we all know the consequences of not wearing a mask.
Well, I'll throw this one to you quickly, Michael, before we head to a break. But some people are pointing to the president himself, who yesterday declined to wear a face mask while visiting a Ford manufacturing plant that is making ventilators and masks for use in the coronavirus pandemic. So people are saying this is, again, the president with his mixed message of, yes, this is serious, but it's a hoax. And yes, you have to take it seriously, but it's just, you know, to keep me from getting reelected. And yes, wear a mask, but I won't wear one. Thoughts?
It par for the course. I mean, look, I think the most people, including Republicans, just discount this president and realize that this is a sideshow. And look, we're ready to liberate ourselves in November of Donald Trump.
Last word, John Hancock.
Well, you know, he did wear a mask when he went back on the tour there at the Ford plant, which was positive. And, you know, this is a president that really likes to break rules. And that is, for some, a very appealing characteristic.
KMOX News Time is 8:43. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with Michael Kelly and John Hancock. All right, I know we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, but it is still a big issue, and that is mail-in voting. There is going to be an opportunity for people to do mail-in voting in Missouri with some restrictions. The president, not a big fan, and in fact, he's threatening to withhold funding from Michigan and Nevada because they've been sending out ballots through the mail. But House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is pushing a $3.6 billion plan to implement voting by mail nationwide. The voting at home proposal would distribute absentee ballots to all voters and allow same day voter registration, which she says would make things easier and safer for people concerned about the coronavirus. John Hancock, any problems with that plan?
Oh, yeah. Same day voter registration is ripe for fraud. I actually think Missouri got it right. What we did, any voter that wants one can request an absentee ballot. And they fill it out. They get it notarized unless their health prevents them from doing so. And then they have to sign an affidavit to that effect. And then they mail it in. The Missouri law that was passed and is awaiting Governor Parson's signature, the Missouri law requires those voters to physically mail in their vote. In other words, we're trying to prevent ballot partisans from going door to door and collecting these absentee ballots and hand delivering them to the election authority. That would be illegal under the Missouri statute. So it's a really good balance between safeguarding the integrity of the elections and allowing voters to vote from their home. And I think it could be a model nationally.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think Missouri has done the right things. My biggest problem is getting something notarized. One, I think it's unconstitutional because that's a significant thing. You guys know how hard it is to get something notarized. But look, what Nancy Pelosi has proposed, I don't understand why Republicans or the president or anybody would have a problem with it. The most fundamental aspect of a democracy is participation and being able to vote. And that's exactly what we're making sure happens. I really think this comes down to what the president's up to is the more people who are likely to go vote, the less likely he is to get reelected. And so that's why there's always been these efforts to limit people's ability to the ballot box. Good for Nancy Pelosi, the Democrats, and some Republicans for standing up. And, you know, it's not just Michigan and Nevada that are doing mail-in voting. There are red states that are doing this as well, but the president doesn't seem to have a problem with that.
Well, you know, we just won a congressional seat in California that had been held by a Democrat, and most of those ballots were mailed in. There's nothing inherently wrong with mail-in voting as long as you safeguard the integrity of the process and don't allow ballot harvesting.
So, John, why is the president targeting Michigan and Nevada? Is that because they're likely to be blue states?
Well, there's a lot of Republicans that don't like mail-in voting, you know, a lot of them, and the president is one of them. I've got, as long as it's safeguarded, I really have no problem with it personally.
Good for you.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit more about social distancing. I think we've talked about people wearing masks, and I do see people wearing them, but I do also see a lot of people not social distancing. And the word on the street is that if the U.S. had begun imposing social distancing measures a week earlier than it did in March, about 36,000 fewer people would have died in the coronavirus outbreak, and that is according to estimates from Columbia University. And if the country had begun locking down cities and limiting social contact on March 1st, 2 weeks earlier than most people started staying home, they say the vast majority of the nation's deaths, about 83%, would have been avoided. Now, granted, this is researchers estimating, but Michael, do you think that we did wait too long?
Potentially, but I have a hard time criticizing a delay. I mean, this was unprecedented what we watched happen throughout this country. And the fact that we all did eventually get locked down, I think, was important. Some states probably waited too long. But the reality is, I mean, this is we're examining this through hindsight. And let's all go back to what our lives were like 3 months ago. And when this first idea of staying at home and sheltering in place came up, it's really hard for me to criticize political leaders anywhere on delays because, you know, the reality is we did get there.
John?
Yeah, I mean, A, nobody knows what would have happened if we had done it a week earlier. And B, I'm not going to fault anybody for not recognizing how serious this was going to be because I certainly did not. And I think most people did not. So, you know, you can always, things in the rearview mirror are a lot clearer than they are in the windshield.
Well, so, one thing I was glad to hear from a doctor that we had on the air this morning, but also from the CDC, is about getting coronavirus from surfaces, because sometimes I forget to mop everything down with a disinfectant wipe. And then people say things to me like, are you cleaning off every single item you get from the grocery store? Like, no. Oh, my God. Was I supposed to do that? Seriously? Do you take off your shoes? You know, so I think a lot of people have been doing measures that I haven't been taking. But apparently now the CDC says it really doesn't spread that easily from surfaces. They say wash your hands and try not to touch your face. But does that make you rest a little easier, Michael?
Oh, potentially. Look, so much about this virus that we thought we knew, and even that they tell us later they know about, we wind up being wrong about. Remember when they said, well, we don't think it affects young kids, and now we're seeing these terrible side effects that are happening to young people? I personally am going to continue to operate under the idea that touching a surface is going to give you the virus. If people just use common sense here, it's going to make us safer. The only way we're going to stop this thing is one of two ways: herd immunity, which I hope isn't what we have to go through for the next couple of years, or a vaccine. And boy, I think hopefully, regardless of what your political persuasion is, you're saying a prayer or keeping a good thought for that working out.
John, are you cleaning every grocery item from the store before you put it in the pantry?
I am not, but I'm washing my hands a lot. We've got the alcohol and the hand sanitizer and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, we're making it pretty good over here.
Yeah, the one thing I hate is how often they say, don't touch your face. Because I'm like, you know what? If that's going to kill me, I'm a goner because I touch my face like every 5 seconds. And if you say, don't touch your face, then I just automatically touch my face. It's just one of those things. All right, it's 8:50. We have to take another break here. We'll be back with round three of OT on The Voice of St. Louis. John Hancock, Michael Kelly, I'm Debbie Monterey. A little closer to home, the Missouri legislature failed to pass a law to do away with the St. Louis City residency rule that was aimed mostly for St. Louis police officers, but would apply to St. Louis City employees in general. So Southside Alderman Joe Vaccaro is introducing a bill to take the question to city voters on the November ballot. It would need 63% of city voters approving to get rid of this rule. Supporters say it's outdated, makes it harder to recruit police, firefighters, and other city employees. Opponents say if you get money from the city, you should live here, and especially police should understand the issues of the city. So since you are a city resident, Michael, we'll start with you. Would you support getting rid of the city's residency rule?
Oh, gosh, yes. This is tragic what happened down in Jefferson City. And what's even more confounding to me, Deb, is the people who stopped it, who are the same state legislators and state senators who realized the crime problem we have in the city of St. Louis. And to my knowledge, and I'll look to John Hancock to correct me on this, I think this may be the only city in the state where you're required to live in the place that you're policing. This is a common sense proposal. It should have passed, and I really, really don't understand what these legislators were doing.
John?
Yeah, probably they ran out of time. I mean, they lost a lot of ground here. So this is a no-brainer. Requiring anybody to live anywhere in a free country is, to me, doesn't seem like a very good idea. And people ought to be able to live where they want, commute where they want, work where they want, and that needs to be the standard in St. Louis.
Do you think it will pass, Michael, if it's on the November ballot for city residents?
Yep. No doubt about it.
You do?
Yep.
Okay. I was going to go somewhere else, but my mind just went blank.
Well, I'm sorry. Maybe I should have had a more long-winded answer.
No, you're fine. All right. We've got 2 minutes here, but there's another issue I wanted to get to because we had a story this morning about how much ridership is down on our transportation system, 70% down on Metrolink, 50% down on city buses. Bloomberg is reporting that subway ridership in China is half of what it was over a year ago, and this is after businesses open, so more people are choosing to drive to work in the safety of their own cars and avoiding taking public transportation. So I'm just thinking, if anyone listening has been to China, the thought of everyone driving solo to work in China is a nightmare because their traffic situation is, I mean, it makes Los Angeles look easy, but do you think that this is going to happen once everything starts reopening here as well? John, what do you think it's going to take to get the average person to take public transportation again?
For the average person, I think it's going to take a vaccine, unfortunately, because I'm not going to get on a crowded, you know, mass transit unit personally. Until we've got this thing licked, and we're a ways from that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. A vaccine is what's going to need be necessary here, but it's imperative that we keep public transportation going because there is a significant portion of the population who doesn't have the luxury of getting in an automobile. And many of those are the people who are working in your grocery stores and working in many places that help keep what's happening in this country operating on a daily basis. So until we get the vaccine, we're going to take a hit on public ridership, but it's imperative that we keep it going.
You know, I have to say that when I am driving into work at 4 a.m, I pass bus stops and there are people waiting for their bus. And I think, God bless you, soul waiting for the bus at 4 a.m. as I drive past. Yeah, I don't know what it's going to take. But, you know, there's been a big surge in the anti-vax movement. And I think part of that is that people are concerned that there's such a push on vaccines and the president promising we'll have it by the end of the year. I wonder if people are concerned that they're just going to shove anything through and it may or may not work. But here, just take it. It's good for you. We needed a vaccine. We'll see how that pans out.
Yeah, we'll have to yield to the smart people. But anybody who's opposed to vaccines, come on. We've eradicated diseases on this planet as a result of them. They're just, well, stupid.
Well, we have to get to the news at the top. But here is what's on tap, guys.
Well, we've got Steve Chigueras coming up to talk a little politics of action-packed day on Hancock and Kelly.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.